Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Last year was probably the first time in many years where we've seen property prices go down. In Melbourne, median prices even fell as much as 6%, or around $60,000. And in Sydney, prices have gone down by as much as 9%, or around $100,000. The good thing is that this is probably a positive for those who are looking to buy right now, because this translates to potential savings for anyone who's already been saving up for the last 3 years or so. But for many first-time home buyers, it's all a little bit too much to be thinking about getting into property. But you don't have an excuse anymore, because the holidays is now a distant memory, and it's time to think, should you invest in property in 2023? Joining us to share her top tips on how to get into the property market is our guest, Daisy Stevens, a mortgage broker with more than 10 plus years of lending experience, and is the head of lending operations at digital mortgage broker Finspo. Daisy, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to chat a lot about this topic because it's such a key one right now.
Absolutely. I remember when I bought my property in my 20s, I was kicking and screaming. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to think about it. But I'm so happy that my dad encouraged me to do it. And it's probably one of the best investment decisions I've made, to not think about myself, but what my dad said. But I think I just wanted to share that experience because a lot of people definitely feel like there will always be a better time to buy property, but never get around to it, don't you think?
As you're growing up and you're seeing all of your friends or all of your colleagues start to make that step, you definitely have that question in your own mind saying, is this a decision that I want to make? And if it is, how do I go about getting this done? Like, where do I even start? And we speak to a lot of people on a daily basis who have that exact question. And so I'm hoping to share some of the things that we would talk to them about so that can give them a bit of clarity about what they have in front of them and the choices they can make and how to go about it.
Well, let's unpack this big blob of becoming a first-time home buyer or property owner. So I believe you've got five top tips for us. So let's get to it. What is your number one tip?
Yeah, so I really think the first thing that we need to do when we're thinking about buying a home is take stock, right? So have a look at where you are today. Review how much you have in your savings account. That could be a lot, that could be not much, that's okay. You also want to make sure that you're really clear on what you have coming in. So what is that income that you're receiving each and every week, and how much do you currently have going out? So what are you spending your money on at the moment? What are those expenses? What loans do you have? What credit cards do you have? Once you start to become really conscious of your financial situation and what you've got going in and what you've got going out, it can get you to the point where you can start thinking about, okay, if I am going to buy a home that I want to live in or that I want to invest in and have that as a rental property, how much of my income am I willing and able to contribute towards this goal each and every week when I do have this commitment?
Yes, I do like what you said there about just taking stock. So you may have enough, and definitely a lot of us saved a lot during the early years of the pandemic, can't go out.
Yeah.
Suddenly we do have, a lot of people have savings, but then you said not much. And I remember I told my younger brother about buying his first property. And I said, think of this as a warm-up. Maybe you're not ready this year, but at least get your finances in order. So that's pretty cool.
That's right. Once we do that, once we're like, yes, I know where I'm at, now what? Like, what do I do now? I think that is a really fantastic time to actually speak to an expert, speak to a mortgage broker, one of the great things, or when you speak to a fantastic mortgage broker, what they will do is they will work with you to really truly understand you and your goals. What are your motivations behind wanting to do this? Where are you at in your financial situation? What is it that you'd like to achieve? And they will start to map this out in their minds as they're speaking to you and learning about you, so that they can help you with what those changes or what those steps are that you need to make to be in a position where you are finance ready, right?
Yes.
Is what I like to call it.
Talking to a mortgage broker, I guess some people who are used to working with a mortgage broker would say, yes, it's just part of the checklist. You have to talk to someone. But for someone who's just kind of starting, where do they get the information? Is it through, how do they find who the nearest mortgage broker is? Can they get referrals? How do you go about that?
We live in this age post-pandemic where we all have very, very, very busy lives, and we want to make sure that when we are speaking to someone who can help us, they can fit into that busy life. So we're available online and we can meet people via Zoom to make sure that whenever they are ready to have that chat, we can have that conversation with them that way. But again, speak to people that you know, have a chat with them, understand who they've spoken to before, what their experience was like, what did they value in the relationship that they had with their mortgage broker, what perhaps did they not value with their relationship with their mortgage broker, and what do you look for and what do you steer clear for? You need to speak with somebody who you can trust and somebody who is really willing to listen to you, understand you, and have you in this environment where you can be quite vulnerable, in the sense of you can feel comfortable to ask all the questions that you might have about this home, and they're ready to impart that knowledge onto you.
Definitely. Oh my goodness. Talk about vulnerable. Can you imagine telling someone about your finances and kind of going, oh, yes, yes, that is my monthly expense bill.
Yeah.
So it can be quite intimidating. But once you get used to it, it's really just part of the process again. So you've said take stock, speak to a mortgage broker. What's next?
So next, what you're going to be doing with that mortgage broker is then speaking about what those options are that you have available to you now, or what you might have available to you in the future. So there are a large proportion of people out there who still believe that a requirement for them to purchase a home is for them to have a 20% deposit. That perhaps used to be the case, but it is certainly not the case now. So there are a number of initiatives that are out there to help people get into their home sooner. So we've got government grants that are available where that can assist to boost up your deposit that you have. There are schemes that are available that the government have offered to assist with not having to pay any lender's mortgage insurance, which can be quite a big cost when you purchase a home. You can have the option explained to you where perhaps you might have parents that are really willing to help you. And that could be in one of two forms. That could be they're happy to use their home or their assets as security, or maybe they're willing to give a gift. And that can all be explained to you. And then this final one that I'm going to speak about is probably one of those ones that lots of us don't really know exists. But if you are in certain professions, there are examples where you can actually go ahead and purchase a property with a smaller deposit, so around 10%, and again, have that lender's mortgage insurance cost waived.
Yes, I heard that doctors and nurses are eligible for that. So you just have to work through the list of professions.
Yes, doctors, nurses, lawyers, sports people as well. So if they're professional sports players, so there are options out there. And I just think it's really important that you do speak to somebody who's going to be ready to, again, understand your situation in a lot of detail so that they can make those options available to you.
Now, I'm going to be honest here, Daisy. What I really want is a 10 million property overlooking, you know, a beautiful water wharf or something like that, somewhere in Balmain.
Mm.
But maybe Lovely. What I can afford is a, you know, a $250,000 house, two-bedroom shack somewhere without water anywhere. But can you talk about borrowing power, budgets, and what should you consider buying?
This rings true for a lot of people, right? So you start off this journey and you go, okay, I've reviewed my numbers. I know what's going to be affordable to me. I've spoken to my mortgage broker and I know what options I have available. I can envisage this lifestyle that I want to live and where I want to be. But sometimes those things don't always align, right? Sometimes you can't actually afford what you want to. And so this, I think, is a really important moment. So once you've been delivered that information in terms of what you can do, you need to kind of take a moment to pause and say, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want to do now? And you know what? If you're not quite ready for where you want to be and you make the decision that actually you're not willing to compromise, to again understand what that means, what do you actually need to do between now and you achieving that goal to make that possible? Or you compromise and you say, you know what? Yes, I can't get that home, but this is really important to me that I get into the market now. I've looked back over the last few years and I can see that property prices have been rising. They've dropped slightly recently. And I'm just ready to get in. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to take the step. But that decision needs to be yours. And I think that is the key message. Make sure you're comfortable with what you move forward with.
Yes. And that definitely means that at least you can be realistic about your expectations and that you don't overspend. I mean, can you imagine you buy your dream house, but you can't even go out for, you know, a weekend night out with your friends because you're trying to pay your mortgage?
Yeah.
I think we've just kind of breezed through those four tips, right? But saving the best for last, what else should a first-time home buyer do?
Yeah. So this is great, right? So you've now decided that you are ready to make that step and you've got your mortgage broker working really, really hard in the background. They're getting you that pre-approval. That pre-approval, once you do get it, is usually going to be valid for a period of 90 days or a 3-month period. And so you really need to work on making sure that you have your support team ready to go for that 3 months when you're going out there and trying to find the home for you. We all know, right? People love giving advice. They love it. They love it. They love it. But you really want to make sure that you're getting that advice and that information from the right people. So that could be a parent of yours. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's not who you want to get advice from. But just know that there are some key people that you need to consider having as part of your team. Your mortgage broker is one of them. You need a conveyancer behind you. They are responsible for reviewing that contract before you sign it to make sure that the terms and the agreements are known to you and is clear to you. You might find that over this 3-month period, you're possibly going to be quite time poor and perhaps you want somebody out there looking at properties on behalf of you. That is an actual job and they are known as buyer's advocates and they're very, very helpful. And then there's other people like pest inspectors. Before you buy, you want to make sure that that property has been looked at and it's of a reasonable condition that you're comfortable to purchase. So again, working with a good mortgage broker, they will have existing relationships or people that they have worked with through other customers that they trust and that they may be happy to recommend through to you. Or again, your network who have purchased property previously, and perhaps they can recommend some key people for you to work with to make sure that you're supported in that decision that you make.
Absolutely. And it is quite a team. I can't believe how many people I've had to talk to, right? Even someone like doing the pest inspection or building inspection. And what I tell my friends usually is that if you're not sure, just ask for a referral. Quickly Google them. I mean, Google review is a godsend for me sometimes. It's very quick to see who are, you know, who are quite reputable and so on. But definitely do your homework and not just sign up to, you know, anyone out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like with those, someone can get started with this and really say, all right, I've done this and now I'm ready.
Fantastic.
So any final words, like maybe your Top three things that people don't know about property buying.
Work with people that they trust, that they know are going to be in their corner when they are making this really, really big decision. You need to make sure that when you are talking about what you can afford, that you're really clear in terms of what your comfort level is, but also what your maximum level is. We have had over the last 3 years record low interest rates sitting at about 2%, and we are now seeing them up around the 4 and 5%. So making sure that you are going to be comfortable in periods of change when it comes to cost. And my final tip would absolutely be make this decision for you and make sure that along this way, you are really clear as to the reasons why you're doing this and that you're confident in all of the information that you've been provided. And if ever you are going through this process and you are feeling stressed, that comes from a position of the unknown. And so rely on the people around you to ask those questions so that they can make you feel comfortable again.
Well said. Like my mom always tells me, if it's worth doing, it's usually hard to do. So property buying is a massive decision, and you need to expect that you need to allocate time to do the right thing and do your research. Once again, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or maybe you have a couple of questions for Daisy. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us on podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all our property stories and the latest in financial news. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.